Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 67 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff. Sitting alongside next to me is my real-life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, on this show, we are doing news. Very little news. I don't think we're going to have much up until San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, we've got a couple months before the big news hits.
We've got nostalgia segment. We've only got a couple more series of Jack's Classic.
Yep, it's drying up. Got to decide what to do next.
Your secret question is back this week.
It doesn't have to be.
It sure is. And who did it better? You have to wait and see which wrestler we decided to choose this week for who did it better. Head on over to whatamaneuver.net. Pick up that Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt. That shirt is looking awesome on all of you fine ladies and men out there.
And babies and toddlers. Dogs, cats.
Yeah, dogs, cats. You can get one for your dog or cat. Cut off the arms, just drape it over your dog or cat.
Yep, even if you have a guinea pig. They make them for those too.
Oh, by the way, you can also still pick up the Fig Life t-shirt.
Oh yeah, you do still have a few of those.
Yeah, pick that up. I'll throw something in the bag. Just slide into our DMs.
Let's clear that up. You're not going to throw anything sharp into the bags, correct?
Nothing sharp. It will be something cool and a couple stickers. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, at Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes. That helps us out a lot. Next to picking up a shirt from whatamaneuver.net, giving us those reviews on iTunes is the next best way to help us.
You can also slide into our DMs and order the Fig Life shirt.
Yeah, you can slide into our DMs, but only if you're ordering the Fig Life t-shirt. That's it.
Right, that's it.
You can email us any questions, comments, wishlists, fullyposable, WFP, at gmail.com. And Scott, again, that's fullyposable, WFP, at gmail.com. That's it. Scott, toy spotting. Did you do any this past week?
I just did a little bit, to be honest with you. I'm still on the hunt to try to find you that Warrior and Taker Hasbro throwback. But unfortunately, our Walmart was a huge strikeout. They didn't have really anything that I can mention. They had a Roman Reigns and a Brock Lesnar and a John Cena in the Hasbro throwbacks. They only had Earthquake and Typhoon left of the Then, Now, and Forevers, but I am watching those things like a hawk, and as soon as they hit clearance, they are mine. Not really anything to speak of at our Walmart. They had some Flair-defining moments, but nothing great. Nothing. I'm still waiting on more new Elite series to show up. But yeah, our Walmart was a huge strikeout.
Now, the flares that you found, were they open robe or closed robe?
All open.
All open?
I haven't seen any closed robe flares.
I haven't either. I've seen people take pictures of them, but I haven't seen any out here.
Yeah, neither have I.
My toy spotting was a complete disaster this past weekend. Went to numerous Walmarts, numerous Targets. And absolutely nothing. I was batting .000. It was like I was 0-for-4 that day.
Dude.
In hopes to salvage something, I thought to myself, I've got to go to Walmart in hopes that I can find something today before we started recording. Went over to our San Leandro Walmart, one of the worst Walmarts in this whole world.
Yeah, it's kind of trash.
To say the least. That's putting it nicely. Walk in. And I walk around the corner for the wrestling figures, and there is an Ultimate Warrior sitting right there.
Nice.
I didn't get the rush of excitement of, oh, yes, I found it. It was more of a, oh, thank God, I just found one of the two. It was like a sigh of relief.
It was like an angry, finally, gosh.
The San Leandro Walmart has had zero Hasbros. No Lesnar, no Reigns, no Cena, no Owens. I pick up the Warrior, and right behind Warrior was Lesnar. So this was the first time I even seen the Hasbros, or Mattel Hasbros, at San Leandro Walmart. They had some basics, coupled with Slammies. It seems like the Slammies are easier to find than that Chase the Belt was.
They're pretty plentiful right now.
Yeah, they had Apollo Crews with a Slammy and DDP with a Slammy. Tons of Then, Now, and Forevers.
All four of them?
All four, and a couple of three packs. They did have one Shield and one Bash at the Beach.
Okay.
Now my batting average is like, what is it, 0.083 or something like that, whatever.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But hey, at least you found that Warrior, dude. You're on the right track.
This weekend I will find Taker. I know I will.
Yeah, hopefully. Oh, how's the Warrior's card?
Perfect.
Oh, you lucked out. That's awesome, dude.
It's absolutely perfect. There's no bends. There's no creases. If anything, you know where the hook is, where it goes around the peg.
Right.
That is a little slightly pushed out a little bit, but it's nothing. There's no crease. There's no warp. There's no nothing.
Well, you hang that up on your wall, you're not even going to see it. So.
Right. This weekend, dude, we've got some big signings going on.
Yeah, look at us. Usually we're the recipients of like some pretty crappy ones. No offense to like Joey Ryan or Cody Rhodes, but like that seems to be all we get around here is like Joey Ryan, Cody Rhodes, Brian Cage, MVP. But this weekend, because the pay-per-view is in San Jose and Monday Night Raw is in Sacramento, and they've also got a Stockton house show going for the SmackDown brand. They've got some signings in town this weekend.
Yes, we are going to be hitting up Finn Balor. You'll be signing up. Well, we're not going to be hitting up on him, but...
Yeah, I'm not hitting on him, but you do your thing, dude. I don't judge.
Hey, the editor, dude. I don't know. I may have to restrain her.
Put her on a leash. Maybe put a shot collar on her. She gets too close. Like, bang. Get away from him. Down.
Yes, Finn Balor will be signing autographs in San Jose this... Well, actually, when the show drops, it will be the previous night.
Yeah. We're going to get there about 4.5 hours early because all we know is the signing starts at 5. So we don't know what time it's going until. It's kind of sketchy information. It's also apparently, from what I understand, in the hood. So you and I will be strapped. We will have our bulletproof vests on, our riot shields, and our Finn Balor action figures.
Yes, we're going to be strapped with wrestling figures.
Exactly.
Don't make me throw this headdress at you.
Yeah, I'll throw this at you. I really don't want to because I'll damage the card, but I will throw it if I have to.
Yes, we will be hitting up that. What's the place even called? Was it Fallas?
It's either a phallus. I just realized how that sounds when you say it that way. Wow. Or phallus. It's phallas. So you tell me how that's pronounced. I'm going with phallus. That's what it's called from now on, is phallus.
I think it's fallas, but we'll go with, yours sounds better.
Yeah. We're going to go and see Finn at Phallus. That's the plan.
And then the following day, I will be heading over to the Cow Palace and getting Hogan's autograph on the Hogan LJN carded.
Oh, you are going to do the LJN?
Yeah, absolutely, dude.
Great move. I hope that they allow you to at least get a picture of him signing it, because I know they charge separate for photos.
Right.
But since you're technically not taking a picture with him, I hope that, or maybe even Celeste or the editor can grab a picture while you're getting your figure signed.
What do I get that signed in?
I'm going to say basic black Sharpie.
Now I have to go buy a black Sharpie. I've gotten rid of all my black Sharpies.
Yeah, you have an immense collection of paint pens, but not one basic black Sharpie.
Well, minus one paint pen. Chris, calling you out, Chris.
What happens to guys that steal your paint pens?
Oh, yeah. What does happen to guys that steal my blue paint pen and doesn't return my blue paint pen? What happens?
What happens to those guys?
You know what, Dee Patrillo? Actually, he doesn't make the list. He's cool.
Yeah. We were going to put you on it, but then we just scratched it out.
Yeah, we like you too much, dude. We can't put you on the list.
In between segments, though, he's totally going on it.
Yeah. And then the following day, what are you doing?
I am going out to Roseville to the Cricket Wireless store, which seems to be the hot spot for WWE autographs these days. Sasha Banks is signing autographs at the Cricket Wireless store in Roseville on Monday. Dude, I actually took the entire day off work just so I could go meet her, and I'm taking both kids out of school that day, and the wife is going with me. So all four of us are going to go meet Sasha on Monday. I cannot wait.
Can I hand you my basic?
Yeah, that's what I'm taking. I'm taking her basic.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm going to take her basic to get it signed. I'm so excited. Like I said, I literally cannot wait until I get to meet her. The last time I saw her, or I should say met her, was WrestleMania 31 Access. And the panel was her, Kevin Owens, and Baron Corbin. And dude, you see that panel now, that's like a big deal. But like back then, all three of them were just in NXT. But I cannot wait to meet Sasha again. And Peyton's going to be all dressed up in her Bayley gear. And if Sasha turns on Bayley at the pay-per-view on Sunday, I can just see Peyton cutting a promo on her. So I'm going to have my camera rolling. I truly hope Sasha doesn't turn on Bayley at the pay-per-view.
Peyton will be a wreck if Bayley loses the title in front of her.
Yeah, this is going to be Peyton's first pay-per-view. She's been to a Raw. We took Alana and Peyton to Raw 2 years ago, the night after WrestleMania. After WrestleMania 31, we took both kids. You guys gave us those tickets, actually.
Sure did.
We went to that Raw. That was our first Raw. We took her to a SmackDown house show 2 months ago, and this is going to be her first actual pay-per-view. Oh, she's also been to NXT. So, I mean, she's seen quite a bit. Loves Nakamura, loves AJ, is pissed off at KO right now because he's messing with AJ Styles, and AJ is like her favorite. But she's super, super excited to see Bayley on Sunday. And A, I hope Bayley wins. And B, I hope Sasha doesn't turn on Bayley, because we're meeting Sasha the next day, and that's going to be all bad. Dude, I'm telling you, Peyton will seriously go up to Sasha and start cutting a promo if she turns on her.
I don't think so.
No, dude, you don't understand. She will. You tried to hand her a Charlotte action figure, and she almost kicked your ass. Like, that's how serious she is about this business.
I have a bruise on my arm still to this day because she smacked me. I was like, what the?
Yeah, she does not appreciate Charlotte. She hates Asuka. She's just starting to accept Sasha a little bit because she's seeing like how friendly Bayley and Sasha are. But dude, if that swerve happens on Sunday, oh my gosh.
Is she just going to despise every female that she has a feud with?
Pretty much. Yes. So she will literally hate every female on the roster before Bayley's run is done. Whoever Bayley wrestles, Peyton immediately hates. It's working that way with AJ too. Anybody that messes with AJ, i.e. Baron Corbin, Kevin Owens, any of those guys, Peyton despises them. And she used to be one of KO's biggest fans. Like, she loves KO because daddy's a huge fan of KO, but not anymore because KO's messing with AJ.
Speaking of AJ, you also received something else of AJ's this week.
Yeah, dude, you sent me the bag from WrestleMania, which had the Cesaro Elite that you got signed for me. Thank you very much. Mm. It had the Bayley and Sasha pins in there. And it also had the AJ Basic in red, which was awesome. I was not expecting that. It was a huge surprise. So thank you very much for that. Much appreciated.
No problem. I had an extra one. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm going to just open it and put it on my shelf. I was like, meh, I don't need it. So I was like, I'm going to just throw it in Scott's goodie bag.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Totally. It's going up on my wall.
Those pins. What did you think of those?
I love them. They're actually really cool. I dig the design of them. And they're actually large size pins. I kind of appreciate that scale. They're pretty beefy. I really dig them. I dig them. They're very cool. I mean, that's not of the same ilk as like our Hasbro pins that we love from Pollyanna DIY. But dude, they are awesome pins. I really enjoy them.
They're really, really cool. And they haven't even gone up on the website on WWE Shop.
Well, I think they have to replenish stock because didn't you go back and they were already sold out?
When I first got to the Access, when I got to the Superstore, they were out of an Undertaker pin. It was a limited edition Undertaker pin. And actually, Brandon wanted that pin. And when I went to go grab it, it was gone. We went to Access that night and I told the editor, I said, look, I'm going to go back in to see if they have that pin. And sure enough, they replenished stock and I was able to pick up that pin for Brandon.
Oh, nice.
So I made sure to pick that up for him. But they had a buttload of pins. They had a phenomenal one, AJ Styles. It was just a circle with a P1. Like your female ones, they had a Becky Lynch, Sasha Bayley, and I want to say one other female that wasn't Charlotte.
Naomi?
No. Could have been Alexa. I thought there was four.
Candice LeRae?
No, it wasn't Candice LeRae. No. And it wasn't Carmella either.
Oh, okay. Natalya, maybe?
No. I thought they had four, but maybe they only had the three.
Was it Charlotte?
No, they didn't have a Charlotte.
Oh, shame on them.
But they also had Austin Smoking Skull. They had the Macho Man and the Ultimate Warrior pins. And it's funny, too, because I messaged Brandon. And I said, dude, I think you've got me hooked on these pins, dude.
Yeah, thanks, Brandon. Now we're totally hooked on pins.
Yeah.
Like, we needed another addiction.
Everything that comes out that Pollyanna puts out, I'm like, yep, getting it, you know?
Yep, totally buying that.
Yeah, and then I'm looking at the lapel ones, and I'm like, oh, I may have to grab one or two of those, too.
Yep, exactly. But no, I tend to gravitate more towards, like, pins that are of the person. Like, not like a logo or anything like that. Like, I'm drawn more towards, like, for example, when we used to collect those baseball player pins back in the day, you know, it was a pin of the player with their name on a bar underneath. Those are the pins I'm drawn more towards. So, like, the Hasbro pins are totally right up my alley. You know, it's a pin of that particular person. And those ones that you brought back, the Bailey and the Sasha, it's a pin of that person. It's not like a logo, you know, or a pair of sunglasses with Boss on it. It's actually Sasha Banks. So, yeah, those pins are a home run for me all around.
The Ultimate Warrior one, it was his mask.
Yeah.
And the Savage one was his logo where it says Macho Man's got the sunglasses and it's got him in the back.
Yeah, the iconic Macho Man logo.
Those two pins are just awesome. I had to put those on my backpack that I take to the gym.
Oh, nice.
Love it. Yeah, I love it, dude. Yeah, I love those.
Shan's been talking about putting up a cork board to put the pins up, and I'm really tempted. I think we're gonna have to do that so I can display these things.
Yeah, just go to a dollar store there, buy a cork board there.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna do that and put it up.
Scott, again, we have a little bit of news, so what do you say we jump into it?
Sounds good. Let's talk about it.
Scott, this news is going to be short this week. Only one thing of Mattel's was shown this past week, and that was the Ambrose Asylum playset. It had two Ambroses in it, along with a Jericho, which was weird. The other Ambrose was in a straitjacket?
Yeah, I don't get it.
But for everyone that wanted that Mitch, you can go and grab it.
But we can't confirm if it's an Elite Mitch. We're not sure.
Looking by the ring and the playset itself, it looks like a basic Mitch.
Okay, so it'll be a basic Mitch.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Other news, it looks like that website that you and I were talking about last week.
Oh, yes, the very controversial website.
It looks like it's getting hit pretty hard, and the stock is diminishing on it.
Which is something that you and I had talked about. You know, the more people were hearing and seeing this guy's YouTube video, and the more people were talking about it, obviously, the more traffic's going to be drawn to it. Of course, stock is going to dry up because not everybody knew about this site. So now that so many more people are hearing about it and finding out about it, I don't know how much of a turnoff it is for people that you have to go through another site to do the purchase. I don't know if that's turning people off and drawing them away, but it doesn't seem to be too big of a factor because, like you said, it seems like inventory is starting to dry up on those things. So if you're at all interested and you want to get your hands on some loose stuff that you can't get anywhere else, check it out. We're not going to give away the link or anything or promote it. But, you know, if you're looking to complete some collections, man, you might want to do it quick. Stuff's starting to dry up.
A lot of our listeners, after they listened to our show, went over and checked it out. And some of them said that as a carded person, it didn't really appeal to them, I should say.
Right. It won't hold much appeal if you're looking for carded stuff. There's not a lot of that. A majority of what I saw in there was all loose.
Some other people got back to us and said, man, this stock is dried up, man. There's not much of anything on there that appeals to me.
Right. I know at Ring Skirts, one of our followers on Twitter, he went on there and he ordered a couple things, and he's going to get back to me and let me know how the whole transaction goes. He's already purchased. He's just waiting on his material to arrive, but he's going to get back to me and let me know how everything goes. So once I have a report back from at Ring Skirts, I'll definitely follow up and let you guys know.
Got FTC news. What you got?
Yes. FTC did another reveal today, or this week. And that reveal was Sanjay Dutt, the newly signed Impact guy. So if you're interested in a Sanjay Dutt figure, FTC has one on your way.
Yeah, I've never really been the biggest Sanjay Dutt fan.
Same.
But I've got to say, I like the jacket on the figure. And actually, I like the face sculpt.
Yes.
And I like the jacket. I just haven't been a big Sanjay Dutt fan. Like when he comes on, I'm like, okay, cool. Sanjay Dutt match. It's going to be a good match.
You can always count on him for a great match.
But it's just, I've just never been drawn to Sanjay.
Yeah, he's bounced around a lot, you know, and he's been in a lot of different places, but I think maybe the bouncing around has led to him not really finding like a firm foothold with a character in any promotion. Hopefully that'll happen one day, but for what FTC is giving us, yeah, the head sculpt's good, and I really dig that jacket from what they've shown. Again, FTC just knocking it out with the accessories. But yeah, it looks like a cool figure. So if, like I said, if you're a fan of Sanjay Dutt, they're going to have a figure for you here pretty soon.
Yeah. I was talking to a couple of friends and they said, yeah, basically the same thing I said, but they're like, man, that figure's a home run. It looks great. I did see underneath the Sanjay Dutt reveal, we're pretty excited about it. So I was happy for FTC on.
Yeah, absolutely. The, you know, of a variety of guys coming out That's really FTC's strength, is you're getting a lot of guys that have never had action figures before. And Chris has talked about that on our show. So, you know, Sanjay Dutt's another one. I think he had a TNA Toy Biz figure, if I'm not mistaken. They released a Sanjay Dutt.
Yeah, they did.
Okay. So yeah, this one's obviously going to be better than that one was, especially given the accessories that are going to come with it, i.e. that jacket. So yeah, like I said, if you're a Sanjay fan, check out the figure, the FTC Twitter, and you got a figure coming your way.
Scott, we've only got a couple more series left. Jax, we've gotten a couple requests what we could move on to.
Okay.
But let's enjoy Jax the last few series that we have them.
Soak it in, man.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.
Scott, Jax Classic Series 27.
Yes, sir. Jax Classic Series 27 consisted of Barbarian, and he was in his singles gimmick garb on this one, not Powers of Pain. Warlord, same issue for him, not Powers of Pain, but he was in his singles garb, similar to the Elite Warlord that just came out. Big Show, Sergeant Slaughter, who came with a camo jacket and hat. Kona Crush, not Evil Crush. Doink, that would be Evil Doink, not Happy Balloon Handing Out Doink. Goldberg, and this was reminiscent of his 2003 run in the WWE. And finally, Steve Blackman. No LJN throwback in the series.
This series was a miss.
Agree, yes. I did not have a lot of favorites in this one.
The Slaughter was really good. I will say that. The camo jacket and the hat, removable hat, made that figure.
Yes, I agree. That's actually the one I have signed.
That's the one you got signed?
Yes, that was the one.
The Warlord and the Barbarian were okay. Nothing to hoop and holler over. Aside from Slaughter's camo jacket and hat, there were no accessories.
Nope, that was all drying up by this series.
Goldberg, it was basically his, I forget which series that was, where it was the original. But all they did was add white trim around his waistline.
I want to say that was like a SummerSlam Goldberg or something that Jax did.
Yeah.
It was like a SummerSlam Goldberg, and it was the black trunks with the white trim.
It wasn't a hit. Blackman, meh. Doink, meh. Doink was colorful, but I wasn't going to buy it.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool. But again, it was Evil Doink. You know, so you had good Doink in the earlier runs, and then later on this was Evil Doink. I don't know how hard that was to pull off. But that was just a miss for me. But there weren't a lot of big names. I mean, aside from Goldberg, just not a lot of big names in this one. The Big Show figure was decent. It was him in his like Andre the Giant singlet with the longer hair. So it was almost like his WCW run Big Show. Or I guess he would have been the Giant. But yeah, this one was a miss for me. Like, and no LJN throwback, which was really disappointing because that was almost one of the things you were really looking forward to with every future Classic Superstars release. Suddenly you get this one, you're like, well, where's my throwback? And it wasn't there.
Favorite figure?
Slaughter.
Least favorite?
Everyone else?
That's how disappointing this series was.
Yeah, just not a fan of this series at all. It was pretty disappointing.
So we also found out a little bit of news regarding the Rock and Roll Express Jax figures.
Yeah, at Ring Skirts shared some information with me on Twitter, with us on Twitter, that the Rock and Roll Express 2-pack that when you and I discussed it a few episodes ago, we expressed our excitement with having our first Rock and Roll Express action figures, but our disappointment with how they turned out. It didn't do a very good job. Well, what at Ring Skirts told us, and you and I didn't know this was completely news to us because we're never on the forums. At Ring Skirts told us that apparently the factory in China, when they were making these, screwed up and switched the hair colors on Ricky and Robert. So who we thought was Ricky is actually Robert, and who we thought was Robert is actually Ricky. You were mentioning earlier, Jeff, when you and I were talking in between segments, that if you go back, you can find pictures where people have like done the correct color hair, and it makes a slight improvement, but it's still kind of a suitcase full of crap.
Yeah, you just can't improve it. Like, I saw some people color in Robert's hair black, which made the figure a little bit better. But I mean, that's not saying much. And then they colored in Ricky's hair blonde. And again, the faces were still so bad.
They were definitely a miss.
I remember on Sunday night when you sent me that text message, there was a picture I took in Florida of the Rock and Roll Express. It was like a poster type deal. And I took a picture of the poster. I took a picture of the figures because I have them loose. And I started looking at him like, oh, okay, I kind of see what he's saying. And then when I saw the pictures online of Robert with black hair, I'm like, oh yeah, that's a slight improvement. It's still a horrible face scan. It's not good.
Yeah, that was a miss. And for what was at the time, and well, it really still is, the only Rock and Roll Express action figures that we've been able to purchase, you were hoping for so much more. And they just really missed on that one. With as well as they did with like the Midnight Express and the Hollywood Blondes, they did that much worse with the Rock and Roll Express. So again, we're kind of putting all of our hope into Mattel that they can release a good set of Rock and Roll Express action figures.
Damn you, Jax. You guys, you got us.
You guys. All right, we see what you did. But yeah, a lot of credit to at Ringskirts for letting us know about that, because I had no idea about it. And he kind of filled us in. These are the kind of things that I love getting back from the listeners, because they're schooling us. And I love that. I love finding this kind of stuff out.
We don't know everything about wrestling figures. You know, we know a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we know we like to talk about them a lot, but we don't know everything about them. So these little nuggets that get passed on to us from the listeners, man, we dig this. We love this. This is stuff that we don't know.
And again, we're not on the forums, so there's stuff that we don't know.
Oh, absolutely. Stuff like this that we would have never had an idea unless at Ringskirts had told us about it.
Like you were saying about the forums, you have to sift through a bunch of crap before you actually find that one nugget of information that's like, whoa, wait a second.
Right, right. And ain't nobody got time for that.
Scott, you're getting your secret question this week.
Oh, dude.
Let's get in your secret question.
Okay.
Scott, your secret question has made a return this week. I almost said this month, but it's this week.
I'm good with a monthly secret question and not weekly.
No, it's going to be weekly.
Of course it is.
It's going to go back to weekly.
See?
Scott, your secret question. What is your favorite card as far as wrestling figures of all time?
You mean if I had to have a specific wrestling card that had all of my favorite guys in it as far as like action figures?
Yeah, like the LJNs had the blue card and then they had the black card. Hasbro's had the multicolor cards.
Oh, see, I was thinking pay-per-view cards.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of wrestling figure cards.
Oh, the backing card of the action figure.
What is your favorite packaging of all time?
Okay, gotcha. Wow, that's an excellent question, Jeff. Let me just give you kudos for a really good question this week.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that one's going to make me think, dude, because there have been some really impressive packages in the world of action figures. I believe the best way to do this would be to start rattling off some of my favorites before just settling on a favorite. So, of course, nostalgia. The nostalgia in me loves the old school LJN card. It was that basic blue and you had Hogan in the background in a wrestling ring putting Big John Studd in an armbar. Love those. The Hasbros were great because it was a full color card with a picture of the guy on it. And then you had a little drawing down at the bottom corner where he was doing his action or his movement gimmick that figure came with. Flip the card over. It had all the figures in the series and a bio card. I thought that was great. LJN packaging came with a little poster and a bio card on the back and full color of all the figures that were coming out. Man, those were awesome. Classic Superstars. The black packaging with the pointy little star on the front.
Yep.
You flip it over, full color on the back with an explanation of who was being the figure being packaged along with the entire line that was coming out.
What about AWA?
Yeah, AWAs were good too. They were colorful. You flip it over. You had all of the line that was coming out. Those came with posters and some of them came with rings and belts. Not wrestling rings, but little rings you could actually put on your finger. Man, there have been so many good ones. The Defining Moments packaging is amazing. You get the windows on all sides of the package so you can see the figure inside and admire the work that Mattel's done.
The Galoobs were pretty plain.
Not much to write home about with the Galoobs. You did get a shot of the packaged action figure on the front, a full color shot of the guy, like basically like a head and neck shot of the guy on the front of the card, and you flip it over, it showed you who was in the line. Galoobs were average. Hasbros were just so excellent. LJN went above and beyond with the posters included with the figure, the sketch of Hogan with Big John Studd in the armbar, and then you flip it over, you got a bio card. full color shot individually of each figure coming out in that series. Oh man, that is so tough. And hey, kudos to OSFTM with their rubber WCW figures.
Now, I didn't like that card.
I didn't mind it. It was the blue and yellow, and you had a color shot of the guy that was packaged as a figure. Flip it over, more color on the back. It showed you who all was in the line. I didn't mind those at all. I actually kind of dug that card. Toy Biz, I was not a big fan of.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big fan of that packaging. Gosh, Jax had so many Ruthless Aggression and Bone Crunchers and all those crazy ones. None of them really stand out to me at all. None of Mattel's packaging has really jumped out at me too much, aside from their defining moments. Maybe the battle packs with the drawing of the two people on it, I think is kind of cool. Ugh, dude, that is such a hard question. If you're referring to just the cards themselves, mm-hmm. not any extra, like with LJN with the posters, if you're not including any of the extras that came with it, like the Remcos and the LJNs, I'm going to have to say that Hasbro is my favorite card.
I was thinking about that. Is Hasbro's my favorite card? And I came to a no.
Hasbro's not your favorite?
No. So what makes you say that Hasbro is your favorite?
I think I'm going to settle, like, if you're ruling out the gimmicks that came with it, i.e. the posters, or in Remco's case, the little rings or a belt or something. If you toss all that stuff out and just go with the card alone, Hasbro offered so much in terms of a full color shot of the guy on the card. Lower right corner, they had a rendering of the action figure doing his movement gimmick. Flip the card over, you had a bio card of the guy and a black and white shot of all the figures that were coming out in that set. That's why I'm going with Hasbro. There was so much going on that packaging and that card. I've got to go with Hasbro.
I was thinking about that, and I just couldn't bring myself to say Hasbro. I thought the LJN was good, where Hogan had John Studd in like a headlock, and he was kind of stepping on him and stuff.
Was it a headlock?
Was it a headlock, or was he...
I thought it was an armbar, and he had his foot in the guy's back.
Yeah, I think that's more accurate. You're right. LJNs were colorful. They had it along with the AWA, like the Matt Manias and stuff.
Yes.
I thought those were good, man. They're just colorful, especially for that time.
Agree. Matt Mania was an excellent card. And actually, they varied the colors on those from figure to figure, which I thought was really, really cool.
And the two packs I thought were good also.
Yeah, they did do a good job on the two packs. Remco really put out the good card.
I think my favorite packaging of all time from a wrestling figure is the Jax Classic LJNs, where they had the blue sides. And it said Wrestling Superstars on it. They put it in the Jax Classic packaging.
It gave you the best of both worlds.
Exactly.
Good point.
I loved it every time I saw that blue side. I popped. The only one that I don't have that doesn't have the blue side is Steve Austin. He has the black side. It's just a normal Jax Classic.
Okay.
But every single one, every other one I have has that blue side, and I love it. I think that's my favorite packaging of all time. I agree with you about the defining moments. I love how, like, on the Razor, they have the gold chain in the back with the purple. Or with Hogan, it says Hulkamania or Sting. It has the two Sting faces. I think that's great. But I have to go more nostalgia. And that's the first, it's the Jax Classic LJN. But then the LJN cards themselves.
Yeah, you're right, though. With those LJN throwbacks on the Classic Superstars carding, you were given the best of both worlds. Because, look, Classic Superstars cards, in my mind, or the actual packaging themselves, is one of the best ever. Great to get signatures on. Easy to display. They stand straight up if you want to do that. Or you can peg them up on the wall like I do. Just an all-around great display piece. Killer packaging. But when you add that element of incorporating the LJN card into it, dude, you're right. That is a killer combination of carding right there. But I still got to go with the Hasbro. I love everything about the Hasbro cards. And I think Pollyanna DIY would tend to agree with me a little bit based on the pins that they're releasing.
Okay, now what is your least favorite packaging?
I think least favorite might be Toy Biz. There was just too much going on that. It was very cluttered and kind of junky to me. I just really didn't care for the Toy Biz packaging. I didn't mind the figures at all. You and I have discussed it on several podcasts, but the packaging didn't do anything for me. None of the packages, because they had several lines that came out, none of those packagings did anything for me. The cards were just not memorable to me at all. They weren't iconic. They didn't define the line, like much like the blue card or the black card LJN or the Hasbro's were such an accent piece to the figure. the packaging didn't do much for the WCW Toy Biz line, so I think that would probably be my least favorite.
I didn't mind the Toy Biz line as far as packaging. I mean, obviously the figures I thought were awful, but I've got to give it up to Jax. Jax had my favorite packaging, and they also have the my least favorite packaging with like Maximum Sweat.
Oh, yeah.
The Stomp series. That packaging was awful.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah. Pretty bad.
It was pretty bad. It was terrible. It was like the Maximum Sweat would be like the Kane figure, and it would have Rock's face behind it or Austin's.
Yeah.
You can't put Kane's face there. You can't put Road Dogg's face there. It was just either Rock or Austin. And I'm like, ugh, this is terrible.
Yeah, a crappy line and a crappy card. Yeah, that was a big miss.
So you're going to say the Hasbros, huh?
Yeah, I'm going with the Hasbros as my favorite cards of all time. I just love everything that they incorporate. You had, look, the front of the card itself was three different renderings of the figure. You had the actual action figure in the bubble. You had a full color shot of the wrestler. And then you had in the lower right corner a little action shot of that figure doing their movement gimmick. That was awesome. That was a lot going on in the front of that packaging, and it just grabbed your attention. It looked great. Then you flip it over, you've got a full bio card of the guy that you just bought, and then black and white shots of everybody else that's in that series. That was a home run for me. I love the Hasbro cards.
I do have to give it up to Mattel and actually FTC, because I got my blue minifigure sign. They've got a big window or a big bubble for the wrestler to sign.
Yes.
So it gives them so much more room to, you know, go a little bit more extravagant on their autograph.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That is a great section for an autograph on there.
Because I was looking at the Elite Finn Balor that we're going to get autographed this weekend. And I'm like, man, that's a big bubble for him to, because I'm going to get the Toys R Us exclusive Finn Balor signed.
Yes.
Which I think is my favorite Finn Balor. I love that figure so much. We'll see what happens when that SummerSlam figure comes out. But so far, this Toys R Us exclusive Finn Balor is just fantastic.
Oh, I agree. Big time.
And so I'm looking at it and I'm like, he's got a lot of room, a lot of real estate to sign right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm not telling my wife this yet, but she is speaking about the Finn Balor signing. She is a huge Finn Balor fan. She had the number one overall pick in our WWE fantasy draft last season. And we do a one season keeper. So since she picked Finn, she had the opportunity to keep him this season. And of course she did. She kept him through his entire injury and lost all those points. He was her number one pick. She lost all those points out of her number one pick just to be able to draft him this season. Coincidentally, she's leading our league right now. She is a huge Finn Balor fan, but due to prior commitments and because she's a good person and doesn't want to flake on people, she has to coach her softball team. She's helping a mom do a slumber party that she had promised. She is going to miss out on meeting her favorite Finn Balor. So because of that, I'm going to try, and she doesn't know this yet. She'll know obviously when it happens and then listen to the podcast again, but I'm going to try to get Finn on FaceTime. And I think what I'm going to do is if they have those crappy photos, that's just like a blank and it doesn't have a picture of them, I'm going to take that Toys R Us exclusive Finn and I'm going to ask him to write "to Shannon" on there for her and then sign it. See if he can personalize it for her since she has to miss out. I just feel so bad. So I'm with you. I'm probably just going to go ahead and get both figures signed because I will have my oldest daughter with me, so I'll be able to get two. But gosh, I feel so horrible for her. That's like us missing like Hogan or something, dude. It sucks. Or me missing Steamboat. That's horrible. I feel so bad for her.
Actually, you're missing Hogan and Steamboat this weekend.
But I already have both, so I'm okay with missing them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if I didn't already have Steamboat, dude, I would be making it a point to go to the Cow Palace on Sunday.
Gotcha. Actually, this is a good time to mention this or bring this up. We've actually had a couple people on our Twitter ask us about your fantasy league.
Oh, really?
Since you just brought it up, I thought, well, why don't you go a little in depth on it?
Yeah, basically, we've got, I believe it's seven teams, and it's run just like your normal football or baseball league, where you have a whole bunch, you take the entire roster of WWE, women, men, tag teams, everybody, you throw them up on a board, and we pick numbers out of a hat, that's your draft order, and we go 1 through 7, and then 7 through 1, so snake order all the way through. And each team picks 11 people tag teams are not drafted as tag teams. They are drafted as individuals. So you don't get Enzo and Big Cass. You get Enzo or Big Cass. You can get both of them if you luck out in draft order and you're able to score both of them. Otherwise, me, for example, I've got Jey Uso. I don't have Jimmy. And I also have Scott Dawson, but I don't have Dash Wilder. So you don't draft tag teams as a team. You draft them separately. And basically, there's points assigned, and I can put up our point sheet on our Twitter if the fans want to see it. But basically, we've got points keepers that live in San Lorenzo. They watch Monday Night Raw. They watch Tuesday Night SmackDown. And if there's a Sunday pay-per-view, they watch the Sunday pay-per-view. Points come out the following week. So, for example, with the pay-per-view this Sunday, the week starts off, and weeks or points are accumulated by week. So because there's a pay-per-view Sunday with Payback, they are going to watch Payback. They're going to tally up all the points. So, for example, like, say Roman Reigns hits a spear. You get 3 points for that. And he pins the guy to win the match. For winning the match, you get an additional 5 points. And for having a match at a pay-per-view, you get 5 points. So there's all these point values you can assign to things. So they're going to watch the pay-per-view Sunday, tally everybody's points. They're going to watch Monday Night Raw. They're going to watch Tuesday Night SmackDown. They're going to tally all those points, and then they throw it out to the seven teams on Wednesday morning with your updated standings for the week. So last season, it went from the day after SummerSlam. The season started the day after SummerSlam and ended at WrestleMania Sunday. So WrestleMania Sunday, you still got points for that day. This season started the week after WrestleMania. So we didn't count the Raw after WrestleMania or the SmackDown after WrestleMania. Started the week after that, and it ends right after SummerSlam ends, and then we'll draft again SummerSlam night, and then our season will kick in the week after that. So it's just, this is an abbreviated season. This would be the short one because you're only going from April until August. The one that runs from SummerSlam to WrestleMania is obviously your longer season. But dude, I'll tell you, I've been watching more WWE programming because of this draft or the league than I ever have. And I'm like, I'm rooting on Roman Reigns because he was my keeper. I had him last season and opted to keep him. And so I'm like, Roman Reigns has been out for 2 weeks and I'm dying on the vine because I'm not getting any points out of him. So like, I find myself in a situation where I'm not necessarily like a huge Roman Reigns fan, but I'm totally rooting for him to like hit a ton of spears and get a win. So, I mean, I'm not trying to keep this a secret at all. If people are really interested in seeing what our point system is, I'm more than happy to share that out. And it's funny, one of my coworkers, one of the really smart guys that I work with, he's actually looking at writing up a program that's going to tally the points for us.
Lucas?
Yeah. Yeah. Lucas is actually looking at writing a program and possibly like making an app out of it.
Oh, dude.
So yeah, you can like put in your point values, you put in your roster, and it'll start tallying your points for you. He's looking at doing an app like that, which I think would be awesome. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, people used to have like Nitro watching parties and Monday Night Raw watching parties. Well, this is kind of similar in that you know you and six other people are watching Raw, SmackDown, and the pay-per-view, all rooting for your roster. So it makes it a lot of fun. If you've ever been in a football or a baseball fantasy league, you find yourself watching like a bunch of other games just to see how your players are doing. It works the same way with this, but it's wrestling. It's something you already love. And I'm having so much fun with this. I actually won last season. They did a special belt for me and everything. I had my pictures all over it. It was one of those toy belts. It was awesome. I have a picture with it. But it's the most fun I've had watching wrestling in a long time, just because you're fully invested in your roster. And of course, we have a free agent board. And every Wednesday at 10 a.m., the free agency starts. So you can drop a player off your roster or a character off your roster and pull somebody off the free agent board. So it's like the waiver wire if you've ever played fantasy football or baseball. So it's just a lot of fun. We have a blast with it. And right now, it looks like Shannon's strategy of keeping Finn Balor is paying off because she's actually in the lead. She's beating me by 36 points right now. I'm in second. But it's just a lot of fun. So if people are interested in the point values and more information in it, absolutely. I'm at Feed Me Taco Bell on Twitter. So if you want to send me a direct message, slide into my DMs, that's fine. Or hit us up on the Fully Posable Twitter and Jeff can let me know and I'll send out information. I'm totally cool with that. But it's a lot of fun.
Mark.
Thank you.
Dude, you know what I need to do is I need to go over to your place and I need to like... put toothpicks in your eyes and just throw on a bunch of PWG and New Japan to bring you back to the indie side.
Well, no, you know, I actually went to a friend of mine's house, the people that are keeping the tally on the WWE. We went over there. Dude, I took like 6 of my PWG DVDs and we watched PWG all night. And that was just like a month and a half ago. So yeah, don't worry, dude. Don't worry. I'm not like a full-on like WWE-only guy at all. I'm still like, I'm following what's going on in New Japan.
Are you?
Sure. I'm following what's going on in Ring of Honor. Still haven't watched Lucha Underground. I know. I'm still not watching Impact. I never will.
I have to admit, I actually deleted that off my DVR. With what they did to the Hardys, or what they are doing to the Hardys, I don't see their side. I don't see it at all. I understand why they're doing it. But I think what they're doing is cheap, and I actually am done. I'm done watching Impact. I know Reno Scum is on there, and they're local guys, but I don't want to watch Impact anymore.
I never did want to watch Impact, even when they had guys like Bobby Roode and Eric Young and the Hardys. Basically, all these guys that WWE has grabbed and made into like megastars that Impact just completely fanned on. It makes Impact look really bad. Look, WWE is better when they have competition. I want there to be a big number two and number three. I said a big number two, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I did. I even said a big number three, and I don't even know what that is.
At the same time?
Yeah.
2+1, you know? Yeah.
Well, that is how it goes. At least it should be. WWE is always better when they have competition. So if ROH or TNA or Impact, sorry, or one of these guys, or even NJPW, when they branch out from Japan and actually show up in the United States, if one of these guys can step up and be a solid contender to WWE programming, WWE is going to get better and the competition is going to get better. It happened with WCW. So I'm all for competition. Just, there hasn't been any in so long. You're almost getting used to it now, you know, where WWE really is kind of like the only game in town and everybody else is like, you know, a way far secondary player in the game. So, but I'm keeping on top of it, dude. I'm not watching Impact, but I'm keeping tabs on ROH and PWG. I always look up results. So yeah, don't worry. I'm not like 100% WWE here. I do follow the other stuff too, just not Lucha and not Impact.
You know what? I would love to hear a Japanese podcast, you know, obviously translated to English. Are they over there saying that New Japan is number one and WWE is number two?
It's hard for me to say that they're even in direct competition with each other because they're on two different continents. Like that doesn't make sense to me that they'd be competing with each other because they're really not.
New Japan seems to think that they're going to be in direct competition with them because
if they come here.
Who, New Japan?
Yeah.
New Japan seems to have that feeling right now. The bookers over there and the owners seem to think that WWE is going to be invading Japan here shortly.
I hope so.
They did have the Beast in the East NXT show over there a couple years ago, 4th of July.
Yeah, they did, but I don't think that was a shot off of NJPW's bow or anything like that. That was just them doing a Japan show, which they do on occasion, but I don't see WWE invading over there and trying to get a foothold in that. They're a United States company, dude. They haven't even had a WrestleMania overseas yet. You know, yes, they've gone over the Canadian border, but they haven't even had a WrestleMania overseas yet. So until that happens, I just don't see them being in any direct competition with NJPW. Let NJPW do their thing over there. WWE does their thing over here. It's two different companies.
NJPW, kind of, what they did is they kind of viewed what WWE did over in England as them invading England. Or I should say the UK, like what they did with the UK tournament. NJPW is viewing that as, oh, they went into the UK. They're invading the UK business. They're going to be hitting up Japan here shortly. NJPW is, I think, ready to stand tall.
Well, hey, that's great. Hey, you know what? If WWE is going to step over the big water and try to compete over there, I hope NJPW spreads their legs and comes over here and tries to get a foothold in the United States. Yeah, the groundwork is absolutely being laid for that. You're going to go see one of their shows here. Dude, I'm like I said, I'm all for that. I want WWE to have competition. It just makes them better. Look at the Attitude Era. You know, that's a lot of people's favorites. And that was directly due to the competition that was WCW. So let NJPW come over here and try to compete. I would love it. I would absolutely love it. Look, they're already kind of in bed with ROH. So you combine NJPW and ROH's roster, that's going to make a pretty strong product.
It would take forever for New Japan to even get up to anywhere near WWE level. Like, they've already got like a good cult following over here. But to attract the kids, to attract people that have been WWE and is only WWE is rough, man. And nobody's been able to do it. WCW couldn't do it. ECW couldn't do it. Not Impact. No one's ever been able to take over the reins. WCW did it for a little bit.
Well, and they did. And look at their template. They weren't born overnight. You and I started watching NWA in like 85, 86. WCW wasn't a major player until 1996. It took them a long time to put all those pieces together and start plucking talent from the WWF before they were anything, really, before they were even a blip on WWF's radar. So, you know, NJPW, take all the time you want and figure this thing out and come over here and try to compete. I'm all for competition. So all that said, no, dude, don't worry. I'm still watching PWG. I'm still a huge fan of it. I'm still tracking results. So don't worry. I'm not all drinking right. The WWE Kool-Aid. Don't be concerned.
You got to start watching Access on Friday nights, New Japan on Access.
I do on occasion. You know, the last time I watched it, I believe was in February, and it was AJ's last match there when he wrestled, I believe it was Nakamura.
Dude, was that last February that you watched that?
No. Axis showed it this past February, a few months ago.
Oh, rerun.
It was, yes. And they showed that Nakamura and AJ match, and it was just phenomenal. No pun intended.
I find myself just like fascinated by New Japan. I don't know everything going on. I'm trying to learn all this stuff, and I'm trying to keep up.
Yeah.
Because Axis is like 6-7 months behind.
Right.
So I'm trying to keep up with everything that's going on there right now. Like hearing about Shibata.
Yeah, dude, that's sad.
Nothing against Shibata. I mean, I was really hoping that he would be like the next Okada or the next Nakamura. But you don't do what you did to the biggest guy. What if Okada would have gotten hurt?
Oh, that would have been horrible. I mean, it's horrible enough that somebody got injured. But when it happens to their biggest star, that's just horrible. Like Finn getting injured right after winning the Universal Belt. Like, that sucks, right. Man. That's like, but it was nowhere near the injury that Shibata suffered. And that's just unfortunate. That sucks.
And what sucks is he was just starting to be built back up.
Yeah. And who knows if he's ever going to wrestle again.
Oh, yeah. We got to go back to wrestling figures.
Oh, yeah. Here we are, like, talking like a couple of marks.
Fully Posable Mark podcast, dude.
Apparently this week it is. We didn't have much news. So here we go being marks.
Scott, our next segment, we got to do Who Did It Better. We got to get into that. Speaking of Bobby Roode, let's cue Bobby Roode's glorious music. Glorious. No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm victorious. And I will defend. I will defend. Scott, before we get into Who Did It Better, we did get another email from our good buddy up in Toronto, Canada, Aaron, A-R-U-N. He sent in an email, says, thanks for answering my email on the podcast. That's because I forgot to respond back.
Yeah, you're such a jerk sometimes, dude. Swerving heel on our audience, man.
You know how many emails are in the draft box because I forget to send them?
Like you have something going on during the day. Jeez.
Yeah, right. Anyway.
Again,
I'm becoming a huge fan of your show. I've been listening to older episodes now as well. I've gotten through about 20 podcasts so far. I had a few questions for you guys this week. Again, I'm catching up on all of your previous podcasts as well, so hopefully these haven't already been answered. Number one, do you guys collect any figures other than wrestling, like Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Marvel? We'll answer this number one first.
I used to. Growing up, I had Mego.
Let's go down the list of what you and I both had.
Shared collections, you mean?
Well, we collected He-Man.
Yeah, we had He-Man. I had the Mego superheroes that Figures Toy Company now recreates.
I had Mask.
We both loved Mask, dude. Silverhawks.
Yeah, G.I. Joe.
Yes, we had a lot of G.I. Joe. Thundercats.
I was just about to say Thundercats.
Yeah, we had Thundercats. He-Man. Gosh, what else did we collect?
Starting lineups.
Yeah, we were big into the starting lineups. We opened up the 1988 or 1987 series and kept on the card everything after that.
Right.
Gosh, I had another one right on the tip of my tongue that we collected. Oh, I had a boatload of Star Wars.
Oh, yeah,
Star Wars. Yeah, Star Wars was one of my big collections. We had a little bit of Lego.
I had Knight Rider and Dukes of Hazzard.
You love Knight Rider and Dukes of Hazzard. I was more of the superhero kid, even though for some reason you had superhero wallpaper in your bedroom.
Which is a fact.
Yeah, I had Star Wars wallpaper in mine, which made sense, but I was more of like the superhero Star Wars kid, and you were more like the cars, like Knight Rider, Dukes of Hazzard. That was Mask. More like your thing. Yeah, Mask.
Oh, Transformers.
Yeah, lots of Transformers. We both love the Transformers line.
Pre-Michael Bay.
Yes, very pre-Michael Bay. Man. In fact, didn't you cry when Optimus Prime was killed in that cartoon, allegedly?
Yeah, he was up on the moon, and he got, like, buried or left up there or something.
Yeah, he turned gray.
Yeah, like bad meat, like the Page zombie figure.
Right, right. Bad meat.
As we started to get older, I mean, obviously, we mainly stuck to the WWE line. Like, we had the LJNs and the Hasbros. But then you started to go into Spawn.
Yeah, I got into Spawns and McFarlane's. Those were kind of basically the McFarlane line, the sports guys and the Spawn action figures.
I really went nuts for the McFarlane sports guys.
Yeah, not so much anymore. But yeah, back in like the early 2000s, late 90s. Yeah, dude, that was a hot line.
Yeah, we continued our starting lineup love, too.
Yeah, the starting lineup ended in what, like 2001, something like that?
I want to say it was something like, I want to say 97 to 99 or somewhere in there?
Somewhere in there, yeah. And then when McFarlane started up, I want to say that was in like 2001, maybe 2002.
Yeah.
And yeah, we just ran full bore with that thing when he started coming out with those sports figures.
But we still kept up our figure collecting. We never stopped wrestling.
Yeah, wrestling has always been there. That's been the constant. We never gave up on the wrestling figures. It didn't matter what line. You know, when we first started out, it was the Remcos and the LJNs, and then the Hasbros and the Galoobs, and then right into Jax and OSFTM. You know, all the way to present day Mattel, we have literally never stopped.
I'm still collecting some sports figures. I'll pick up whatever Buffalo Bills figures come out that McFarlane makes, because he still does football.
Oh, he does still do football.
At least I think that's him that's making those EA ones.
Oh, yeah, based on the Madden game. Yes.
Yeah. And then I think he gave up on baseball because there's some other company that's putting out baseball figures now.
You're right. And they look very similar to what McFarlane was doing.
Well, the one thing about these figures is the faces on the guys are terrible, but the poses that they're in as far as swinging or in a pitching motion is spot on.
Oh, okay.
So you kind of wait for them to go on clearance and you pick them up. Like I picked up the Mad Bum for cheap.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So they just need to work on the faces.
Exactly.
Okay. But yeah, nothing else for me. That's pretty much it. I get the occasional pop, you know.
Oh, yeah, Funkos.
Yeah, usually as a gift or something. Like Sean, for example, for my birthday, got me the Finn Balor medal. So I'll collect some odds and ends like that. Mystery Minis, the WWE Mystery Minis, I'll get those. But really, that's about it for me. That's it now. Primarily, I would say 98% of my collection is wrestling figures.
Number two question. Obviously, you both have large figure collections. What is your most prized figure that you own? Personally, mine is the Defining Moment Warrior from Mania 7, which is signed and personalized to Aaron from when he met Warrior at WrestleCon in New Jersey.
Oh, that is awesome.
I know, right? Or maybe there's a figure out there you consider your holy grail, one that you hope to own one day. Greg Valentine Rhythm and Blues Hasbro.
Yeah, agree. That would be it. That is the holy grail.
That is the holy grail figure.
Yeah. Absolutely. The guy that owns it literally owns the holy grail of wrestling figures is that one.
The most prized figure that I own? Or actually, this one's shared between you and I, and actually it's getting autographed today when the show drops, is the Hogan carded LJN.
Yeah, I would love one day to be able to have a case big enough to display all of our LJNs, all of our Hasbros, all of our Jacks. Some way to be able to just kind of show off the collection, and it means so much, and it's almost like a timeline of us growing up, you know, to be able to show that entire collection from LJN to present day Mattel. My favorite figure in my collection that I own is there's actually two of them. It's my signed Hogan, the Classic Superstars Series 8 with the variant belt, and Ultimate Warrior Classic Superstars Series 1 autographed by Warrior. Those are my two favorite action figures.
Those are definitely two you can't go wrong with, man.
Yeah, I mean, Hogan and Warrior autographed, that's money to me. On my short list after that, I'll include my Ricky Steamboat WWE Mattel Legends figure that I got signed in Atlanta with you. That was just an amazing experience meeting Steamboat and talking to him and shaking his hand and getting, you know, he was my favorite, like in the days of Hogan's and Warriors, like I was a Steamboat fan. So meeting him and being able to tell him that was awesome. And I walked away with a signed figure of him. So every time I see that up on the wall, you know, I immediately jump to that Atlanta trip and just how much fun that was and meeting Steamboat. So that would be another figure on my short list. And of course the Piper autograph that we got in 05 on the Roddy Piper Classic Superstars. That's another one of my favorite figures. Beautiful autograph and a great figure.
My autograph is fading. It sucks so bad.
Oh, dude, that sucks.
Kills me. To finish out this email, finally, last time I gave you my top five Mattels. This time I'll give you my top five LJNs. Number five, Hulk Hogan, simply because of how iconic the figure is.
Oh, the first one then.
Number four, Ultimate Warrior.
Love it.
Number three, Kamala.
That's a great LJN.
It is. It's a really good LJN. I have no problems with that one at all.
No, that's a great Kamala figure.
Number two, Ricky Steamboat. The Ricky, I like the pose that he was in, but the face was just so far off. Like, not even close.
I know what Steamboat they were going for, but I wish that that figure had a little more color to it. Black hair, black pants, black boots. Or black tights and black boots.
He was supposed to have like black trunks and red tights.
Yes, he was. And I would have been okay with like all white and black boots or something, or the red with the black boots. I would have been okay. That figure needed a little more color for me. I loved it because it was Ricky Steamboat. It was the first figure I had of him. And of course, he never lost. But I just wish he had a little more color to him.
And number one, Haku. That was a good figure too because of how colorful it was.
Yes, Haku was an excellent figure.
Thanks again and keep up the great work you guys do, Aaron in Toronto.
Thank you, Aaron. We love seeing those kind of emails come through, man.
And speaking of emails, if you guys have any questions, I'm actually going to see if anybody's going to do this. This is kind of, we're going to test this out.
Like, are you still listening?
Yeah, exactly. After our banter about the storylines and
fantasy wrestling.
Yeah. If you guys have any questions for Scott and myself, try to put together maybe about a 30-second clip and we'll play it on the air. Mention your Twitter handle if you want, your name, where you're from. Keep it to about 30 seconds and Scott and I will answer it on the air. So kind of put an audio clip together. Send it on over. We'll throw it in the show and Scott and I will answer it.
Yeah, make sure you put your Twitter handle in there. So that we can maybe draw you a few more followers and people, you know, just keep growing the Fig Life community. I love it.
Actually, and also Instagram too, if you have an Instagram handle.
Yeah, for sure. In there. Let's keep growing the community.
So if you have any questions, we're just going to try this. It's just something we're throwing out there. But send over an audio file. Scott and I will answer it on the air. Scott, time for Who Did It Better?
It's big this week.
Is there a pun intended in there?
100%.
Oh. This week, we decided not to do the ninth wonder of the world, but we decided to actually talk about the eighth wonder of the world, Andre the Giant.
Yes.
Andre the Giant has had a ton of figures, more than just your typical Jax Mattel, LJN, Hasbro.
Yes.
Andre the Giant also, I don't know if anybody knows this, also had a Figures Toy Company figure.
Yeah. I honestly, when you showed me before the show tonight, I've seen that figure before. I had no idea that was a Figures Toy Company figure. I thought it was a custom somebody had done. I didn't realize it was a mass-produced figure.
Yeah, I actually had to verify with Chris and he said, yep, it was a figure that they did back in 2002.
And it's really cool. It looks like an old Mego figure. And if you if you're familiar with the Mego figures at all, it was basically a colorful cardboard backer card and then just a plastic bubble with the figure in it. And it had little circles with different facial expressions on it. And it looked dead on an old Mego card. And I thought somebody had customized it. I didn't know it was a Figures Toy Company card. That's a great figure.
And he's got the black singlet on. He's got the short black hair.
Yes. So heel Andre.
Yes, it is heel Andre. Andre's first figure, a lot of people are going to say LJN is not LJN. Andre's first figure was produced in Japan, and it was from a company called Poppy, P-O-P-Y.
Yep.
Andre was in red trunks, and it, just kind of looking over the figure, it only looks like his arms move. I believe Hogan was also made in this Poppy line also.
Yeah, Hogan was. He looks like kind of one of those old bendies that LJN did, but the arms are straight. They're not like bent at all.
Then it went to LJN.
Yes, he had a couple in the LJN line.
He did have a couple. Then he went to Hasbro.
Yep, he had the iconic, yep.
Then he didn't get made again until Jax.
Correct.
No, actually it was before Jax Classic Series 1.
He had the statue, which we've discussed, and I believe those came out in 97 or 98.
Yeah, and it was him and Snuka, I believe.
And Captain Lou as well.
Then he got made in the Jax Classic. He was part of Jax Classic Series 1.
Yes.
Then he had a bunch of figures throughout those lines. He had the old school Andre look.
Basically, from Jax to Mattel, they've covered any and all variations of Andre the Giant throughout his career. Young Andre to Andre that came with a removable afro to Andre in his brown vest that Amazon is getting ready to come out with. All the way up through Andre the Giant in his last match, which, gosh, they didn't release him in his clothes when he was in Boss Man's corner. But basically, like, if you want an Andre from the Andre and Haku match against Demolition at WrestleMania 6, you've got plenty of those out there to choose from, too. Mattel and Jax basically covered every Andre you could imagine.
So, the question I pose to you, Scott, what is your favorite Andre?
It is and always will be the first series Hasbro. As my favorite Andre the Giant figure.
I have to agree with you. I think my second favorite is the Jax Classic, because it's right there with the Hasbro in my eyes.
You know, I really like that Elite Andre that came out not too long ago that came with the removable hair. I really dug that Andre, but there's just
that one was good.
Yeah, I thought that was really good. There's just something about that Hasbro that captures everything about Andre the Giant that was awesome. It had his bugged out eyes that he would do when he was like giving a promo or angry. Just it really just captured the face. One thing that I thought was understated were the humongous hands on the figure. And he was literally a giant action figure. He was big. He wasn't in scale with the other ones. He was taller. And they captured his singlet perfectly, his black boots, his facial expression, the big hands. Just everything about that figure is just iconic Andre the Giant to me. And that is and always will be my favorite Andre figure. I love that Andre the Giant.
I have to agree with you. That one is just terrific.
Yeah. In fact, a few weeks ago, I was going to say when I was looking for pictures for the round of 64, when I was pulling some of those figures out to snap some stills of them, I pulled out that Andre and showed it to Peyton and kind of told her about who he was. And I got to look at that figure again. And just admire how good it was. Like, if you have a chance, get your hands on one of those Andre Hasbros. It is just, it totally captures the late 80s, early 90s Andre the Giant that was just like the biggest heel. It is so good. Just and again, I know I talk about how I've talked about Hasbro on this podcast already, but just Hasbro just had a way of capturing a guy that was 7 foot something, and you can't teach that. And just putting him down into a 4-inch or 5-inch action figure. And it was perfect. They just so good. So good. Good luck beating Hasbro at anything. Really. They're just so good.
I got to give it to Mattel. They did make the better taker.
I agree with you. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. So yeah, there you go. Hasbro did get beat at the Undertaker figure, but not much else.
Hasbro 78, Mattel 1.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Are you going to get that Amazon, Andre?
No, I'm definitely going to pass. I'm definitely going to pass. I do like it a lot. If you don't have an Andre the Giant figure in your collection, definitely look at adding that one. They're not going to get much better than that. It's an excellent Andre the Giant figure. It's a young Andre when he was kind of at his peak, I would say, athletically. A great one to add to the collection if you don't already have an Andre the Giant figure. I do like that one a lot, but I'm passing personally.
What is your least favorite, Andre?
Least favorite. You know, I wasn't a big fan of the classic superstars that had the singlet with the two straps. He didn't ever wear that.
Yeah.
And it didn't do him any justice. And yes, I nitpick on outfits. We all know this. But just something about that really detracted from the overall look of the figure. And it was something you noticed immediately. Anybody that followed Andre the Giant's career knew right away when you looked at the figure, Wait, he never wore that. Is that a tank top? What is that? He was supposed to have a single strap. They put a double. So another example of Jax phoning it in. Made that my least favorite Andre the Giant action figure.
As bad as the face is on the LJN.
It is.
It's not good.
It's not great.
The pose saves it.
The pose does save it. And plus, it's a hulking figure. Like, that thing is huge. And that was the one thing you could count on LJN for with the Andre the Giant figures. Those things were in scale, man. Those things were really yes. in scale. And yes, you're right. The face is kind of a dumpster fire on that thing. But the subsequent Andre the Giant figures that came out were better. They did a little bit better job on the face. I didn't like that they made heel Andre smiling. That kind of threw me off a little bit. But the face was a vast improvement over the very first one that came out.
I am going to pick up that Amazon Andre. I have to have it. And when I do, I'm going to use Breaker and Bane's Amazon link, which will kick back a little money to them.
Yay. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're going to order anything from Amazon, head on over to breakerandbane.com, click on that Amazon link. That will kick back some money to them. I'm always more than happy to support Breaker and Bane.
Absolutely. Support that. But support those guys, man.
Yeah. You know their podcast. Everybody subscribes over there.
You better.
You can support this show by heading on over to whatamaneuver.net, picking up that Fully Posable Goes Retro t-shirt, tank tops, women's tees, v-necks, regular t-shirts, hoodies, infants, toddlers. That's the best way you can support the show. The other way you can support the show is head on over and to iTunes. Give us one of those 5-star skis. Help us out that way. I don't know what a star ski is, but Gallows and Anderson always add ski to the end of things, so it sounds cool.
Well, I'll tell you what. Hutch knows exactly what a star ski is.
And you can listen to any of our other past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast from. Follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, Fully Posable, Instagram, Fully Posable, WFP. And you can be like Aaron from Toronto, Canada. You can email us any questions, comments, wishlist, fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. And again, we want to just kind of try this out. If you have any questions for the show, send in about a 30-second clip. We'll be more than happy to answer the question on air. Again, give your Instagram, your Twitter, whatever your handle is on those two sites, your name and where you are from. We'll be more than happy to answer those questions. So, Scott, this Saturday, you and I will be kicking it in Finn Balor's line for a few hours in the heat, dreading the heat again.
Yeah, we might be inside, though. If we get there early enough, they might provide some shade.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, let's hope they throw some shade at us.
Scott, for episode 67, anything else?
Happy toy hunting.
#FigLife. Adios.